I really just want to just, from praise and worship to the last few minutes, everything is just makes sense. Everybody say it makes sense. Amen. It makes sense why I'm here where I am in this passage today. And it just all makes sense. And God makes sense even where life doesn't make sense. Amen? Amen. And so you're likely going to hear something again today that confirms what you've already heard in worship yesterday, even like in real time. I have no doubt something that I'm going to share is going to be another confirmation. Amen. That is no goodness of my own. It's just the Spirit of God. Amen. And it's just confirmation that I got the Holy Ghost. Sometimes I'll be wondering, but I feel like I do have the Holy Ghost. There's no other explanation to where I am today other than the Holy Ghost leading me and guiding me. Amen. Even right here, right now. And so it's spring cleaning time. You got spring cleaning? Amen. I'm spring cleaning so much. I mean, inside and outside. Even yesterday was in the yard most of the day between studying for today and some other stuff at school. I was outside and kind of walked in a hole and then tried to shake it off. And then I was like, oh, that 45 is kicking in. So I took a few two little things before I got up here. So between the Holy Ghost and those two little things I took, we're going to have a time this morning. Y'all know I'm just kidding. But it's definitely spring cleaning time. Anybody use a mop doing your spring cleaning? I use a mop. Everybody say mop. Everybody say mop, mop. Everybody say mop. Everybody say mop. When you drive up to a green light, what do you do? I said, when you drive up to a green light, what do you do? What? Yes, ma'am. Okay. I said, when you drive up to a green light, what do you do? You go. Why do you guys say stop? Because you said you talking about spring cleaning, and it made me say stop when you talked about a green light. But I do want to start today's teaching with something, with stop. Speaking of stop, please take notes because I want to be responsible. Everybody say responsibility. I want to be responsible with what I present today, even with this passage. I want to present this passage not like an exact science, because I sense in this room, we've already heard in this room, we need healing. And then when you go to the Word of God, you want that thing to work. Amen. You want to be able to speak certain things and go to the Word of God and walk away. And the worship leader talked about a promise keeper, and a promise keeper keeps what? Promises. How do we even know that? We know that because of his word. But we go to the word and we walk away and we don't feel like the promise is being kept. We're like totally displeased. We're like, okay, it could almost mess with your faith a little bit. It can mess with your faith. But everybody say, he is a promise keeper. Everybody say, he's a promise keeper. His word, the word of God is yay. The blessings are yay. The promises are yay and amen. Everybody say amen. Amen. So I want to be responsible with this passage that can have you hyped and amped and ready to just I want us to be inspired by this passage, okay? Because it inspires me to live victoriously and slay the enemy. You hear me? I want to give him a black eye. I had a dream last night, and maybe ask me after service, but in my dream, I let the enemy have it in my dream. So if I could let him have it in my dream, when I'm conscious, you know I'm going to let him have it. So this passage that I'm about to read is more about principles than a prescription. We may want to read this and take it as a prescription. Anybody taking prescription medicines, don't raise your hand. But you know that the doctor prescribes it to you and you take it, you feel better, I guess, perhaps, if you get past those side effects. So, but I think that this passage is a prescription of principles. If you want to write that down. Everybody say prescription of principles. And stop helps us to approach a passage like the passage I'm going to present today responsibly and scholarly so we can get results and not man-made results. Everybody say not man-made results. I want to walk away with something that's godly today. I want us to walk away with God results and not man-made results. And so please allow me to lift this one more time because stop helps us approach the word of God a certain way so we can have results. S in stop stands for situation. Everybody say situation. Situation. There are no Walmarts in the Bible. Everybody say situation or historical context. There are no Targets. There are no vitamin shops in the Bible. So S and stop is when we're reading the Bible, we have to understand the situation and the historical context. The T and stop, I am going to take my time because I'm going to be here like 3 weeks straight almost. So I'm going to literally just take my time and make sure we walk away with something really, really, really quality. Amen. The T and stop stands for what's the literature? What are we reading? What are we reading? Everybody say, what am I reading? Like, what is this history? Is this poetry? Is this a prophecy? Is it a parable? Is it an epistle? The O in stop stands for who's the object? Who you talking to? Everybody say, who you talking to? Everybody say, God, who you talking to? Are you talking to them or are you talking to me? Is that just for them? Is this just for Israel or the disciples? Or is this for Alpheus? Is this for Alpheus? Shout your name. Is this for? Jared. Is this for Alpheus? Is it for the church? Is it for everyone? The P. I just talked about prescription. The P in stop. Stop helps us to walk away from a passage and we get results. Is the P stands for prescription. Is what I'm reading, what we're about to read today, is it a prescription for Alpheus? Is it a description? Everybody say prescription. Prescription. Everybody say description. Description. Everybody say prescription, prescription or description. So let's turn to Acts 28. I have it three places here up here because we're going to walk through Acts 28. If I gave you a pop quiz on stop, what's the S stands for? Situation. The T stands for? Type of literature. Open book test. The O stands for what? Who are you talking to? God, who are you talking to? This is the word of God. These are real life accounts. The P stands for what? Is it a prescription or a what? Description. Amen. Y'all got that? Acts 28. This is a compressed view. So here it doesn't look like this in my Bible, exactly like this. But we're going to go to a wide view in a second. This is a compressed view. Let's read it together. Acts 28. This is verse 3 and verse 5. Ready, set, go. A viper came out of the heat and fastened on his hand. Whose hand? Paul's, by the way. And he shook it off. He shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. He felt no harm. Now, let's look at the wide view. Acts 28, verse number 1. All right. Acts 28, verse 1. This is a little bit more of what's happening here in Acts 28. All right. Ready, set, go. Once safely on shore, we found out that the island was called Malta. The islander showed us unusual kindness. They built a fire and welcomed us all because it was raining and cold. Now, first of all, if you ever been on a cruise, you don't want to go to a cruise to an island and it's cold. It seems like cruise and cold doesn't go anywhere, right? So first of all, this is, I just wanted to say that. That's not in the Bible. But, I mean, how am I going to go to this island and it's cold? So it was cold on this island. They built a fire and welcomed us, the locals, all because it was raining and cold. Paul gathered a pile of wood, a brushwood, because that's how you make a fire. Ladies, all right? And he put it on the fire A viper driven out by the heat. So as he put the brushwood on the fire, a viper was driven out by the what? What brought out the snake? What caused the snake to go out? What caused the snake to come out? Heat. And did what? The snake fastened itself on his hand, on Paul's hand. But Paul did something very, very simple, but very powerful. But Paul did what? Paul shook the snake off into the fire and did what? Suffered no effects. So just to recap in Alpheus terms, Fat Forest terms, a snake, not only did it bit Paul, but it fastened itself to Paul. So it bit Paul and it hung on and Paul just shook it off. So I want to talk about today, shake it off. Everybody say shake it off. This is what I want to talk about again for the next few weeks. Everybody say, shake it off. Everybody say, shake it off. This is a spiritual flex. I know I have reflex, but it's also a flex. Because we're flexing in the spirit and in the natural, we can flex. It's flexing in the natural and flexing in the spirit. This is a spiritual reflex every believer should possess to be able to shake it off. Everybody say, shake it off. I feel like knocking everything over up on the stage just to show you how you should shake it off. But, I don't know if the people listening going to be like, what's going on there? The streamer's going to be like, he crazy. But we got to flex on mental and physical attacks. Flex on mental and physical attacks. How did Paul get into a position where he had to shake off a snake? Not just shake off a snake, but shake off a snake in a strange land. It's one thing to have challenges at the house, but to have challenges and have issues and you in a strange land. He had to shake off a snake in a strange land. Go back to that scripture, sweets. So the backstory, Paul was arrested in Jerusalem. Why was he arrested? We may know this, we may not know this, because he preached, very simple, he preached Jesus. He was arrested in Jerusalem because he preached Jesus. What's wrong with that? Because he preached Jesus to the Gentiles. So the arrest happened in Acts like 21, 22, and 23. So what did Paul stir up? Everybody say, stir it up. Yeah. This is 2026, let's stir it up. Specifically, he preached Jesus as the Messiah, which was a different, quote-unquote, message. It was a different, it was problematic because he boldly preached Jesus was the fulfillment of the law and prophets. He was the fulfillment of the law and prophets. Because we respect Abraham, right? We respect all the prophets. We respect all of the powerful men of God in the Bible, but they were not Jesus. Moses is my favorite Bible character. Shout out your favorite Bible character. I think Paul and Moses are right neck and neck right now. I really like Moses because we went to Egypt and we went to Saudi Arabia and I saw what Moses had to go through. But I've also been to some places that Paul went. And so we respect those guys. But Paul preached Jesus. He preached Jesus. Jesus Christ of Nazareth. What he preached was an indictment to the Mosaic, Moses, the Mosaic law. So now you don't have to be saved through the law. The law doesn't equal salvation. It is Jesus. Everybody say Jesus. Jesus. Equal salvation. That ticked off a whole lot of people. I mean, it ticked off a lot of people because it disrupted a lot of systems. It confronted religion. It confronted legalism. And it shifted the focus on from ritualistic living to Jesus Christ. Does that make sense? Just giving you some backstory. So he got arrested. He got arrested in where? In Jerusalem. He got arrested in Jerusalem. All right. We good? And it's amazing to me how healing is attached to the name of Jesus. But there's a lot of hell attached to the name of Jesus. It seems to stir up a lot of, what do I mean by that? It seems it stirs up a lot of, I don't even want to say that word one more time. Y'all think I'm cussing. Okay. But say it again. Opposition. So I guess the wife don't want me to say that word no more. But if you listen, but if Jesus Christ is not in your heart, you're going to H-E double hockey stick. People don't say that no more, do they? Some people don't even, there's a hell. You go ahead and play with that if you want to. But it's amazing how healing and the other word is stirred up when you preach Jesus. Even today, why is, maybe I'm venting, maybe I'm not, but this got to be confronted. Why is Christ taboo today among Christians? So I see why Paul caught some flack in that day when in 2026, Christians today seem like they have, they are anti-Christ. Have you ever heard or seen the post, Christ did not preach himself? He preached the kingdom. What does that even mean? Jesus never preached himself to be a Christian. It's quiet in this good old church and online. Why? This is my question is, in Acts 11, 26, why is Christians mentioned in the Bible? Why is the word Christians mentioned in the Bible? Why did Peter say, yet if any man suffer as a what? A Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. What are we getting that from? Why are Christians don't want to be Christians? I'm not a Christian. I'm a follower of Christ. Wait a minute. That sounds like a Christian to me. I mean, there is something to be noticed about when you preach Jesus Christ of Nazareth, how much stuff is stirred up. Yes, healing, and then the other word, it's just something you guys, we got to be in prayer. Amen. So Paul was arrested yet again. We know he was arrested before, and we know what happened. He got the victory. Amen. But Paul knew this was unfair, and he made an appeal. He made an appeal to Caesar, so he had to leave Jerusalem and go to Rome. And he had to go before Caesar. I see a lot of parallels. It's not like the journey, okay? And you're going to see more as I talk about this passage in Acts 28. So they got on a ship. They got on a cruise ship, Uncle Jerry. And they ended up in the middle of a cruise ship. They got on this cruise. First of all, Paul didn't want to go anyway, but that's another story. And the name of the storm, when the cruise, not the cruise, it was a ship. I keep saying cruise. The name of the storm was actually called Euroclydon, or the Northeastern Storm. The Northeastern Storm let the ship have it. I mean, it let the ship have it so much that the captain couldn't get control, the crew couldn't get control, and Paul ended up in this place called Malta. By the way, I got pictures of Malta. I've been to Malta. Some of you guys may have been to Malta. So the shipwreck, it looks pretty bad, but at night, let's say if the ship crashed at night, when they woke up in the morning and that sun hit, this is what Malta looks like. Look, thank you, Jesus. Now, this is Malta. The Bible says in Acts 28, verse 1, they found out that they were on this island called what? Malta. Okay? But Paul was like, I didn't even want to. I told you from the get-go, we shouldn't have got on this cruise ship. We shouldn't have got on this ship because the Bible records in Acts 27:10, let's read it, ready, go, saying, men, I perceive that this voyage will end in disaster. Paul was like, I ain't trying to get out of, you know, I'm arrested for preaching Jesus. I know y'all, you know, we got to go to Rome and see Caesar, you know, but I want to tell you guys, I know we got to go through a ship and we got to get to Rome, but I'm telling you, I perceive. Everybody say, I perceive. Everybody say, I perceive. He said in Acts 27:10, I perceive that this cruise, this ship, this voyage will be with hurt and much damage. So he wasn't, it was, everybody say, shake it off. Everybody say, shake it off. It is easy to shake it off when you have perception. When you have the gift of perception, or when God has revealed to you what's to come, it's easy to shake it off. So when a viper of sickness, a viper of drama, a viper of negativity comes, you can look at somebody and say, God, show me anyway. Everybody say, God, show me. Paul said, I perceive, I know I'm here in Malta. There was a storm in the ship. I'm sure everybody was like, oh my gosh, the ship, this storm, this northeastern storm is, it's going to, Paul, you wake up. Wait, I'm not saying this is what the Bible says. But if Paul already knew, I'm sure Paul was sitting on there eating a carrot saying, I told y'all, I already perceived that this was going to happen. So wake up, Jesus. There's a storm. Y'all see the parallel? Wake up, Jesus. There's a storm on it. And Jesus just sitting on the boat, chilling, because Jesus also has perception. Amen? Paul says, I perceive if y'all put me on this boat, it's going to be with much hurt and much damage. Ship damage, hurt. When God has showed you, it's easy to shake it off. That's why when you first got that job and you got introduced to that boss, when stuff started to happen, it was easy to shake it off. When the false accusations or the unwarranted pink slips, you're not surprised because you have perception. Everybody say, God showed me. Everybody say, God showed me. When a family member starts to act crazy, and you know they're still wrestling with a demon, and they start to show out, you're like, God already showed me. You can shake it out. Everybody else is like, hey, what are we going to do? What are we going to do about this family member? Everybody is talking about what is obvious, and you sitting back and saying, oh, God already showed me. Paul said, I perceive. Everybody say, I perceive. Perceive is an under-celebrated gift. What is perception? It's discernment. I already know. Everybody say, I already know. You turn on CNN, don't be surprised. You can shake it off because you have what? Paul says, I perceive that if you elect, I know that's what y'all want me to say. I perceive if this person gets in office, from the highest to the lowest, if this person is my boss, if this person is my teacher, I perceive that it's going to be some rocky roads. I perceive if I marry this person. It's quiet in here. That's not for anybody in this room. Everybody say perception. Everybody perception. It is, please, I just want to focus there for two more seconds. Everybody say perception. All right. So Acts 28, let's keep going. So this is an interesting account. Acts 28, they're on this beautiful island. One more time, sweets. I'm really taking my time, but they're on this beautiful island. So you have these islanders. You can keep it there. They saw the snake on Paul's, I guess, arm, his hand. Acts 28. Verse 4, they saw the snake hanging from his hand. They said to each other, this man must be, you can go there, sweets, this man must be a murderer. This man must be a murderer, for though he escaped from the storm and the sea and the shipwreck, the goddess justice has allowed him to live. But Paul did what? Shook the snake off into the fire and suffered no ill effects. Let's keep reading, verse 6. The people expected him to swell up. They already written the ending before the story was finished. Some people see one snake bite and already start planning your funeral. You got to have surgery, what? Okay, we need, y'all, now why are you going to the worst case scenario? You got a headache and you going to the worst case scenario. The people expected him to swell up or certainly fall dead. Sir, I just got a headache. I'm not finna die. I ate too much pork chops. They expected him to swell up and suddenly fall dead. Be careful. Everybody say, be careful. Be careful listening to people whose first reflex is to panic. In my family, maybe in my household, now I can be dramatic. Now I can tell you I can be dramatic. I can be dramatic when I want to be. I'm laughing it off. Am I right? I can be dramatic over the littlest things. But I can also be in a room full of 300 kids, and the chaos doesn't affect me for some reason. There's a grace that's on me to not even be fazed by the chaos. There's certain things in life that's around me over the years that I'm not fazed by the chaos. Amen? The people expected Paul to swell up, suddenly fall dead. That's very dramatic. Like I said, be careful listening to people whose first reflex is to panic. Everybody say, shake it off. Everybody say, shake it off. What if Acts 28 read like this? This is the Alpheus Anderson translation, so you won't see this anywhere. So let's read it together. What if it read like this? A viper came out of the heat and latched on to Paul's hand. But Paul's reflex kicked in immediately. Paul's reflex kicked in when? His reflex kicked in when? You heard bad news and your reflex kicked in when? He looked at that report. I'm sorry. He looked at that thing like, hold up. What is this attached to me? Everybody say, what is this? This is the AA version, okay, translation. He recognized it was foreign, dangerous, and not from God. The Bible even calls it a beast. Paul did not panic over it. Did he panic? No. He shook that thing off quick, fast. Everybody say, shake it off. And in a hurry, into the fire, so it could be destroyed once and for all. Everybody say, today is the last day I'm dealing with this. Everybody say, it's going back into the fire. Everybody say, it's got to go back in that fire. Everybody say, today is the last day. I'm not going to bed with this. This is the AA translation. Yeah, it bit him. Life will bite you. Life will bite you and continue to bite you. That's what life will be. Life, that's what life is life and means. Life, if life it means, it will. Life is going to bite you. Amen. Flesh, we're flesh anyway. Yeah, it bit him, but it did not stay on him long enough to do what? Poison him. Everybody say, shake it off. Everybody say, shake it off. Everybody say, shake it off. One more time. Everybody say, shake it off. Sweets, can you go to this slide here? Then I'm going to go back. Just go ahead a little bit. I'm going to speed up a little bit. Acts 28, the compressed view, one more time. A viper came out of the heat and fastened on his hand, and he shook it off. He shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Everybody say, shake it off. Y'all get the punchline. But my question is, Paul, how did you do that? We started today's teaching with what acronym? S stands for what? Situation. T stands for what? The type of literature. The O stands for what? The object. P stands for what? This is where we can almost get in trouble if we're not careful, because I see this and I'm like, I want to shake it off like Paul. I want to be able to be bitten by a snake. I saw a snake the other day and it was like 40 feet away. And I took 40 minutes to wait to go around it. It never moved. And so, I mean, me and snakes, I ain't with it. But Paul was bit by a snake, and it stayed with him, and he shook it off. You see that reflex? So I'm immediately locked into the scripture, and I want to take that. You know, there's some in some cultures or in some parts of, I think not too far from here, they actually... They handle snakes based on this passage and other passages. They literally get snakes in a room in a church. Next week, I'm bringing about 5 snakes, poisonous snakes in this room, and I'm going to see who got the Holy Ghost. Who's going to be here? Because I'm teaching today about shake it off. Paul shook it off, right? Y'all got faith, don't you? I'm bringing at least 4 copperheads. Well, I ain't going to bring them. Somebody going to bring them. I'm going to call somebody to bring them, and we're just going to worship, and we're going to let the snakes roam. As a matter of fact, we're going to pick up the snakes, and we're going to believe, shake it off, right? But where's your faith? That's why we have to stop. Situation, type of literature, object, P, is it a prescription or is it a description? I want to shake. Listen, nobody in this room, speaking of rotator cuff, nobody in this room wants to be healed badly, more badly than any. Everybody wants to be healed mentally and physically. Amen? Amen. Shake it off is possible. My question is, Paul, how was your reflex so easy? How you do that? Was it a prescription or was it a description? Paul, so one, your reflex today comes from yesterday's discipline. 2, today's strength is built on yesterday's habits. Today's reflexes come from yesterday's repetition. I almost can say this a million different ways, especially if you read the book Atomic Habits. Your response today reveals what you practiced yesterday. Paul shook it off publicly because what he prepared privately. The Bible says what you do in secret, God will do what? Will reward openly. Because I'm going to be here for a few weeks in a row. Amen? Are y'all excited about that? I'm kind of am, you know. I am. Amen? Everybody say shake it off. I'm going to attempt to cover 6 ways to build your flex, your reflex. You see flex and reflex, because Paul was flexing. It was a reflex, but Paul was also flexing. You can go into a room, you can cast demons out of a person, and it goes into a pig. That is a flex. That is a spiritual kingdom flex. You can walk into a hospital. What I did skip, and I hate to reveal to you guys that I skipped things, but what I did skip, because we'll go back next week, is Paul was in Malta. He was in Malta, and he healed some people. He healed people, and he gained favor in this island. He healed people. Amen? 6 ways to build your reflex. Your flex is 1. I think we'll probably only be able to cover a half of one, maybe 2 today. You got to recognize the viper. Everybody say, recognize the snake. Imagine some things in our body, when you have pain in your body, it is a sign that something is wrong. Make sense? If you cry, that's actually a good thing. Because if something is hurting physically, mentally, and you cry and you get it out, it cleanses the soul. And God collects your tears. Y'all know God collects our tears, right? Anybody excited that God collects your tears? Everybody say, real men cry. Everybody say, real men cry. But imagine if you couldn't feel pain. Imagine if you couldn't feel what God designed to trigger in your body to let you know that something is off, that you have high blood pressure, that you have diabetes. You couldn't even course correct. It could be a slow one. Says, try the spirits, whether they are of God. Make sense? Hebrews 5:14. Discern both good and evil. But what if you can't detect evil? Then you're always possibly doing evil. Amen? If you don't know how to detect or recognize or discern, everybody say, shake it off. Paul said, I perceive we shouldn't get on the ship anyway to go to Rome, because he has discernment. Discernment helps you detect good and evil. James 1:17 says, every good, this is one of my favorite scriptures. I pray it all the time. Every good and perfect gift comes from where? Anothen. It comes from a heavenly origin. Every good and perfect gift comes from, not on earth, not from the government, not from my bank account, not from my spouse. Every good and perfect gift comes from where? From above. Above is translated from a Greek word that means heavenly origin. But if you don't have a clue about what's heavenly, how are you going to detect the opposite? Does that make sense? So I suggest that we consume good. Write this down. Consume good. Study good. Sing good. Keep a good kingdom environment. Recognize the viper. How are you going to recognize a snake if you don't know what a snake looks like, feels like, tastes like, smells like? So how do we do that? Evil is only evil on the backdrop of what? Good. Evil is only evil on the backdrop of what? Good. If you take away the rust of a car, you still have what? The car. If you take away the car, you no longer have the rust. Makes sense? If you take away the cut on a finger, you still have the what? You have the finger. But if you take away the finger, you no longer can have a cut. So we got to do good, consume good, study good, keep a good environment, kingdom environment, sing good, hear good. Everybody say hear good. Hear heaven. Do good. Make welcome the Spirit of God. I said, may welcome the Spirit of God. I said, may welcome. He will only, I said about 15 minutes ago, he will only come where he's what? You're going to go where you're welcome. Amen. May welcome the Spirit of God, because a viper is the opposite of good. So it will be easy to detect a viper if you're always around what? Good. Make sense? Too elementary? God is good all the time, and all the time what? God is good. So maybe I will get to two of them, and this will be the last one. I won't hold you guys hostage. I'll be here for a few weeks. I've already said that. Seems like I'm excited about it. Maybe in one of those weeks something good will happen. Hint. Number two, return to consecration. Paul, how did you do that? How did you shake off that snake? How in the world did you shake off that snake? Matthew 17, 21 says, this kind goeth not out. This viper, this sickness, this issue does not go out, does not go away quietly, but by what? Prayer for people. Fasting. I am talking to some most spiritually mature people that I know in this room. So that's why this is labeled return to consecration, because you know exactly what that is. Amen? Amen? Return to consecration is similar to return to a diet. It's similar to return to exercising. It's similar to return to eating healthy. It's similar to return to walking more every day. Return to, remember, I'm asking Paul, how did you do this? And what I read was his result that day was because of what he did yesterday. Amen? Make sense? Acts 13, 2, as they ministered to the Lord and what? And fasted. Return to consecration. Everybody say return to consecration. Honestly, I feel like today's teaching could be one of the most transformational ones for this church in this next season, because we're going to walk away and the testimonies are going to start flowing in from you guys and from your family members, because we're going to get results when we stop and we apply spiritual disciplines like return to consecration. Write this down. Do I make a habit of being separated? Reflect. Do Alphaeus make a habit of being separated? What do I mean? Do I make a habit of DND, do not disturb? Do I go an entire day and I don't talk to anybody but God? How do I protect the Sabbath? Remember the Sabbath day to do what? Keep it holy. That's still in the Bible, right? I am guilty of never having a Sabbath. Like, I go a whole quarter and I don't have a Sabbath. Well, you at church, the day is not a Sabbath, but I'm working today. unofficial mentor friend. He acts like a mentor, but he's a friend. he asked me years ago, what's your Sabbath? What day do you? I'm like, why do you keep, every time we would do lunch, and he keep, what is your Sabbath? I say, Sunday. I do less on Sunday because everything is, you know, everybody else seems, he said, no, what is your Sabbath? Look at somebody, say, what is your Sabbath? Y'all looking at me with that tone of voice. Like, Alfie, you don't take a Sabbath? Have you spiritually spring cleaned? Paul shook off the snake. That just don't happen. That just does not happen. Like, it just doesn't happen. Like, it just doesn't happen without preparation. Everybody say, prepare. Do you have dedicated time, place, or even things for God? Like, back in the day, I heard my mom, my late uncle, before he passed away, and he was terrible. My uncle was terrible from what they told me. I mean, I'm telling you that I'm not saying it out of shade. I'm just saying God did a lot in a little time with my uncle. And he said, you know, I think he knew his days last days were close. And he said, you know what? He told my mom, Alty May, I want to get, you know, my other uncle, I want to get him to give me a suit. And I think I'm going to go back to church. Because there was a time where you didn't wear that same suit to the club and you wore it to the church. Does that make sense? You didn't wear those same clothes in that atmosphere and in the church. Now, that's definitely somewhat legalistic, but I'm trying to make a point. Do you have a dedicated time, place, and or things just for God? Make sense? Is there a preparation for God's presence without distractions? I have an iPhone, iPad, two iPads, a MacBook. Everything is ding, 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 ding. Do you have a day where you don't hear ding, 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 ding? Distracting you from hearing from God. Make sense? Paul, how did you do that? You just shook off that snake. It bit you and it latched on to you. How did you do that, Paul? It just doesn't. And then after that, he went around healing people on the island. Man, I just do what Paul do. Last one, is detoxing, and I'll end with this, 12:1. Is detoxing, AKA fasting, a part of your lifestyle? I'm finished. Did you guys enjoy this teaching? Was this eye-opening? We want results, right? So for the next few weeks, I'm talking about shaking it off from Acts 28. Please read, if you read it with me, you guys can help me teach this in the next couple of weeks. Amen.